Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Inside Scoop Live. Thanks for tuning in. I'm your host, Juanita Watson, and today my guest is author Homa Porisgari. She is the author of the new romantic fiction novel, Lemon Curd. Homa resides in Los Angeles, California. She received a degree in business from Loyola Marymount University, after which she left to live in Paris for a year and attended the University of Sorbonne, focusing on literature. Multilingual, she has been traveling since the age of 5 and has experienced many different cultures. Homa has worked in various industries such as marketing, retail, banking, accounting, and fitness, but has always returned to her true love, which is writing. And she is currently working on a second book, which we are really eager to hear about as well. And you can find out more about Homa through her website, homaporisgari.com, or her book website, which is lemoncurdbook.com. So that said, welcome to the program, Homa.
Oh, thank you. It's great to be here.
Wonderful. Well, I have to congratulate you. Publishing your first novel is always a remarkable feat, and it sounds like Lemon Curd actually has been a long time in coming. So would you tell us a little bit about why this book and why now?
I wanted to write a book about our time and about the women in today's workforce. Their roles have changed tremendously compared to 50 years ago. And I pretty much enjoy writing about what's happening in current events and what's going on within our society. So that's why I decided to Lemon Curd. I just, I like the topic. I think it's, love is part of our everyday life, and it's important to talk about relationships and difficulties people face.
So why now? Why are you just getting your first book out now? You've been writing for your whole life.
Oh, well, I don't think I had the self-confidence that I have today. I did take classes, creative writing classes at UCLA, and I actually did write a novel a while back, but I gave up too quickly. And then, you know, it's great as a writer to have a support system. Back then I didn't have the support system. People were like, oh, it's really tough to make it as a writer. So I decided to get back in the work industry. But I think right now is a good time for me to write because I have a lot of experience behind me, personal experience, work experience, and all of those contribute and give depth to my writing.
So with all of your experience in the business world and that being such a strong theme in Lemon Curd, is a lot of your personal experience in this storyline?
Yes and no. It's also a book about my friends and the situations that they have dealt with. And yes, it is about my experience. I've seen so much working, and it's really difficult for women to move ahead as opposed to men. Even our government, they don't have that many female politicians. Women always have to work much, much harder to get ahead. That's just how it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's getting better, but I don't think that it's going to change that much in, say, about 10 years.
Mm-hmm. It's very patriarchal, isn't it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, definitely. So it's important to deal with it. There was a case that went into the Supreme Court about this woman who was paid much less than a man, and Supreme Court just didn't want to do anything about it. So finally, when President Obama took over, he started taking action. And I believe they're coming up with an act, I forget, Lily something act, and anyway, so that women can get fair pay. This is, you know, equal pay to men.
Isn't that amazing? In 2009, we're still dealing with this issue.
Exactly. And we're in the United States, and not like we're in some Middle Eastern country.
Right.
You know?
I believe, too, as a woman, we should have been progressed a lot farther along than we are right now here.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, it makes it that much harder, and I wanted to show that in Lemon Curd about, you know, working really hard and trying to I guess it's called self-preservation, you know, to just kind of not let somebody else grab something that you've worked so hard for.
Well, tell us then, let's get into the main character of this book, who a lot of these themes are coming out into play. So Annalisa, tell us a little bit about her.
Annalisa represents what's going on with women today. She works really hard. She has a busy schedule, a large extended family that she tries to keep in touch with and visit. She has a boyfriend. She wants to spend time with him. And at the same time, she wants to show her boss that she's just as capable as the next guy. So it's kind of difficult for her to balance everything all together. She's pulled in all directions. And at some point in the book, she kind of cracks.
Mm-hmm.
She's just had about enough, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And which is, I believe, something that we all feel at some point when we're just so stretched out and always just running around doing this.
Way too much pressure.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, there really is an incredible amount of pressure on women right now in the workforce to be super women.
Yeah, it is. It's not like, you know, about 30, 50 years ago, things were different. People lived on one income. Some women work, but a lot didn't. Their responsibilities were different. They had to take care of their family, and that was it, basically, and their house. And today, that is added work. So you're working, and you're supposed to raise these fantastic children and to keep up your appearance, to have a clean house. It's like it's like this perfection that people are looking for in a woman.
Mm-hmm.
She does pretty much everything, so...
So who or what is at fault at this pressure? It sounds like it's coming both from, you know, what I'm hearing you say, both from the inside and from outside.
Oh, definitely. It's expected. You know, I feel that there are stay-at-home moms, and people don't appreciate it. A lot of times they look down on it. But to me, I think it's great because they're bringing up children who are stable in our society.
Mm-hmm.
So I think both is good, women who work and have kids or women who stay at home and have kids.
Mm-hmm.
Both is good because, you know, you want to make sure that you're raising a family, children who are going to contribute to society. We have a lot of issues today, you know, with gangs and kids having all sorts of problems.
Mm-hmm,
so,
mm-hmm.
You know.
And raising good children and not just having children at home sitting at video games.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And before, I don't think people even thought about that. They would just put some snack in front of their kid and put them in front of the TV and say, there you go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But, different today. So,
what do you think would be the outcome of a society that women don't necessarily have a balance of home life and work if they're just really in, you know, what is becoming more and more common today, that workaholic type of a pace? And this is something that, you know, you explore in Lemon Curd. What do you think the outcome is of that with a society of women workaholics?
I think it's going to affect everything as a whole. One, it will affect their own families because they have no time to spend with them.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you lose that human connection with other people. You don't have the time to enjoy yourself. And honestly, I don't think it's just about women. Men, too. We need to have a more decent working hours and to have longer vacations, time after work. I know a lot of my friends, they work till 7 o'clock at night,
mm-hmm.
and even on Saturdays they're working. You compare that to Europeans, they have 2 months of vacation. They get off work early. They have shorter work week. I love working. Don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with working. It's just that I think there should be a balance.
We need to recharge.
Exactly.
Did you just say 2 months of vacation?
Yeah, the French get 2 months of vacation, a lot of them. I know. Everything, you know, in the month of August, for example, everything shuts down. A lot of, it's almost Paris, for example, becomes dead. A lot of stores are closed. They just take off.
Really?
Yeah.
That is fantastic. I don't think that will ever happen in the United States. But
no. Well, I mean, that's a bit too extreme, too, but we need to take better care of ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, we need a little bit more time off, I think.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So when you were spending your year in Paris, is that where you kind of first experienced that slower pace?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they make fun of us. They're just like, oh, my gosh, you guys are always rushing. You don't really enjoy the quality of life.
Mm-hmm.
And they do, but they expect less as well. For example, they live in smaller apartments. They don't have the luxuries that we have in the U.S. Not everybody drives, but then they have a great transit system. So they have less than the Americans, but at the same time, they really get to enjoy their life.
Mm-hmm.
So
clearly the travels that you've done and the experience you've had with different cultures and different places has really shaped your writing as well as your own personal values.
Yes, because the traveling makes you see so many different cultures and people from all walks of life. It's nice to listen to people, see their perspective and how they see our world. When you don't travel or even when you don't read, a lot of people have stopped reading. They
uh-huh.
watch way too much television.
Uh-huh.
Television is okay. It's good. I mean, I watch it too, but they should also spend some time reading because it really opens up your mind and gets you to just see other worlds.
Well, you're engaged as opposed to TV when you're just kind of tuning out.
Right, exactly right. You're almost in a trance.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I do it, too, just to relax my body.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay. But I think, you know, again, it comes back to the question of balancing. You need balance.
Mm-hmm. So clearly you read quite a bit then.
I do. I do love to read. I read a lot of different things. Well, doing research requires a ton of reading. So I read pretty much about a good 6 hours just doing research a lot of times, 6 to 8 hours at least.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that reading different genres and researching and really getting involved with works that aren't necessarily in the same genre that you write, do you think that that makes you a better writer?
Oh, definitely. I would never just read only romance novels. I read mystery, thriller, documentaries. I just I like to read a variety of works, science fiction. It makes you well-rounded. But often, if I'm working on a book, I don't read books because I don't want to pick up someone else's style.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of my time is spent on research when I'm writing. But in between, when I have time off, definitely I read many, many different types of genres.
Well, Well, how long did Lemon Curd take for you to write?
I want to say it probably took me about three and a half years to write it, somewhere in there.
And that includes editing, basically from the first time you sat down to having the book in hand?
Exactly.
That's a good amount of time.
Yes. I don't know how the writers do it. Sometimes there are writers who write two or three books in 1 year.
Yeah, I know.
All the power to them. I don't know how they do it because it's really a lot of work.
They never sleep.
No. I need my sleep.
I know. Well, so with this novel, Lemon Curd, the characters are so interesting, and your storyline is so deep. What really came first for you way back when, you know, several years back? Was it the idea of the storyline, or was Anna and, or Annalisa and the Neil and Paul, were they kind of swirling around in your head?
I believe the idea of the storyline came first. I was trying to write something about our society. A lot of times, we've lost some of the morality and ethics in our society, and we pretty much, there are many people who take what they want. They never really think about how it affects other people. They see something, they like it, they want it, and they go after it. Which there's nothing wrong with it. As long as you're not taking away from other people. And this book, although it's a romance book, it's symbolic of what's going on within our government as well. Our government does many things. They just, because it's good for them, but they don't really think about how it affects other people. For example, us getting into war with Iraq. We look what happened. So many loss of life.
Innocent loss of life.
Many.
Yeah.
Many, many civilians died in the process, let alone soldiers who got dragged into this war, which they didn't ask for.
And there's plenty of repercussions happening because of that with them at this point.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, and that's pretty much the mentality of our society, unfortunately. So,
well, I think you have plenty to say. You know, it's so interesting. I was looking a little bit at your website the other day, and I wrote something down, quoting it right from your website, because it really spoke to the depth of who you are and who you are as a writer. So I want to read it. It says, Homa is a big supporter of human rights, a strong believer in freedom of expression, and an advocate of small business. She is pro-peace, pro-environment, pro-education, pro-natural health remedies, and pro-smaller government.
Exactly.
And we'll be back with more Inside Scoop Live after these important announcements.
Are you looking for new ways to promote your book? Why not consider being interviewed live? With the huge impact internet radio as well as podcasting is making in our society, your voice can now be heard worldwide. Let Juanita at Inside Scoop Live create the necessary steps for you. You will not only receive a web page of your own, but your interview will be available for MP3 download and RSS feed. As well, your interview will be posted on venues such as iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, Podcast Alley, and the Inside Scoop Live blog. Go to InsideScoopLive.com today for more information. Welcome back to Inside Scoop Live. Just to remind you, I'm talking today with author Homa Porisgari. She is the author of Lemon Curd, and you can find out more about Lemon Curd through the website lemoncurdbook.com or homaporisgari.com. I want to hear about that, Homa, and where you will be going with that in the future in your writing.
I believe in smaller business because large corporations and conglomerates, extremely wealthy families have taken over our government, and people's voices are no longer being heard. We need to make our voices heard, whether it is through writing or joining activist organization, we need to let our politicians know how we feel and what we think, and that we are not going to put up with this anymore. They need to hear us. I am a big human rights advocate. I think that, for example, my next book is about Saudi Arabia, which is about oppression of women and human rights abuse in that country. And we do a lot of business with them, and which is fine. We should have open trade. But at the same time, we need to talk about this. We need to talk about why women are treated that way, because it's really not all about religion. It's more about control.
Power.
You know, and we need to have discussions about this and talk about this. We shouldn't keep this a secret.
Do you think that the world is ready to hear the reality of that?
I do. I think that we are ready because we first off, we should move toward renewable energy. And if we move toward renewable energy, then we're not so oil dependent. And then our governments are not so afraid to talk about it.
Mm.
Right now, we can't really do a whole lot because we need the oil to get around. So we don't want to offend any country. But if, you know, for example, I don't want to spend my money. I don't want to buy from an organization who's going to abuse women and treat them that way. And when, like I said, when I go and put gas in my car, I think about it. I'm thinking my money is buying the gas and putting it in the pockets of the people who just they don't care about me. They just want me to be quiet, cover up and sit home and have no rights. And I'm not okay with that. And I'm sure most Americans are not okay with that.
Absolutely. And, you know, more and more women are just really expressing their voice and not being okay with that.
Right. And we have the power to talk about it. Because if you're from another country, for example, if you're from Saudi Arabia, or if you're from, let's say, Afghanistan, you're scared to talk about it because these fanatics, they come after you and they kill you. But if you're a Westerner and it doesn't affect you, you should talk about it. You have the power to make a difference because your life is not threatened. Your family's life is not threatened. And why not help other people?
Do you think that at this point it will be voices like yourself with that Middle Eastern experience really getting that message out there that will begin to make that difference so things will basically snowball from there? I just don't see that that message will be coming out from that particular area.
It's not going to come out from them. I think it's going to it should come out from us. It should come up from us on the other side of the world. And the more we talk about it, when during election times we ask our politicians some tough questions, I think we can get it to the media, and the media may start covering bits and pieces of it, and eventually we can push for some sort of freedom. It, you know, it's never going to be like democratic countries. You're not going to be able to change the Middle East to France or United States, but I believe that there's a limit to human rights abuse. So you're not going to have that complete democracy, but you can help them give more freedom to their citizens to make life easier and better for them.
I imagine you are very active in seeking out alternative media sources at this point as well.
I do. I really look around to figure out how I can get my message across. It's a bit tough because if you want to go mainstream media, they don't want to do a coverage of you know, especially if it's going to influence their advertisers and makes a lot of people angry right off bat. So I usually go to the independent press and do things on a smaller level and hope that eventually people will hear me. And it's really not about me. I write to discuss other worlds and other people and be able to help them if I can, even if it's in a small way.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're a member of the Association of Iranian American Writers. Is that a good platform for you to get your message out?
It is yes and no. Yes, it is good. For example, when my second book, I was promoting it, and I emailed a lot of people from my association, and they were really excited. The trouble with it is it's still limited because it's a small society. It's a new organization. It only started, I want to say, perhaps about 8 months ago or so. So they're still trying to get it together. We're not where we should be just as of yet. But it is helpful. I'm also a member of PEN, which I'm not sure if you're familiar with it.
Mm-mm.
It's an organization that supports expression, freedom of expression. So, I believe being part of organizations that are activists, such as Amnesty International or Human Rights Watch, Save Darfur, those really do help get our message across.
Mm-hmm.
They really do. Because I've signed many petitions, and some of them have worked. They increase donations to these organizations, and our government helps out as well when they hear that people care.
I guess, you know, we can get really overwhelmed and think, well, what is my little voice? How will that really affect the whole? But it really does.
Oh, yes, because, yes, we're just one person.
Mm-hmm.
But there are lots of other people who are speaking out as well.
Mm-hmm.
So each individual is contributing to the whole.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do it all by yourself. If I got up on a podium and started ranting, I would sound like a crazy person. You know, but if I, you know, if I'm part of an organization, and a peaceful organization, again, there are lots of activists who are kind of nutty, and I believe in peace and doing things peacefully and through the law.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
you're not an anarchist.
No.
Yeah.
Not at all. No, doing things through the law, by signing petitions, by writing our senators, that's how I think change will be made eventually. It's going to take a long time, but it's well worth it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So with your writing in this first book, you really did take on the women's issues, and I know that's obviously very, very close to your heart, but this first book isn't just a book for women. I think that there is a big appeal for men here. You have some very interesting male characters with very, very different male personalities. So maybe we can hear a little bit about your thoughts in bringing the male perspective into your books, and where you may want to go in the future with for your male readers.
I do believe that this book applies to men as well. Men struggle with relationships just as much as women do. And unfortunately, the female race thinks, oh, no, you know, men, they're not that deep. But they are. I've had many male friends, some of my best friends that I grew up with. They were a great bunch of guys. And it's just as hard for them. They deal with cheating spouse, they deal with not being loved, how they were raised affects them. So I think these are some very important issues, and I've had men read my book and really enjoy it. I think we're all the same. There's no difference between men and women, between people with various religions or nationalities. At the end of the day, we're all human beings. And I think everyone who reads this book can get something out of it, as well as my second one that's coming out, it applies to all readers.
Mm.
I was talking to this man from Tennessee who was interested in reading the second book I had written, and he was going on about how he believes in women's rights and he doesn't feel that this is right and the way women are treated. So I think that, my books apply to both men and women.
Mm-hmm. Now, in the Dawn of Saudi, the second book of yours, is that, again, with a female lead?
Yes, it has a female lead, but it also has a strong male character in there as well.
Mm-hmm.
Just as much as in my first book, I had a very strong male character.
Neil.
Mm-hmm. And they start with certain perception of the protagonist, and eventually towards the end they realize that their perception wasn't 100% accurate, and they become more flexible, and towards the end they start changing their mind about how they had visualized things, situations in the beginning.
You know, it's interesting. I think that men maybe secretly really like to read books with strong female lead characters because they want to understand women. And with your writing, you have such strong male characters as well. There is that appeal. So it sounds like a really great mix for a male reader.
Exactly. I know. The thing is that sometimes, you know, when you put romance on a novel, men don't want to.
Right. Right. You know. It's true.
But I know that they don't mind reading it. It's just that they don't want to admit it. But even women, they don't want to admit that they like romance books, but I know they do read it. It's a huge market.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's important because love is love and relationship. Plays a big role in our lives.
Uh-huh.
It's part of our everyday life, so why not, you know?
Well, it's who we are.
Right.
Uh-huh.
That's exactly it. Uh-huh. It is who we are.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So,
where did lemon curd come from?
When I was in London, it was such a huge thing. I'd never tried it, and I thought, this thing tastes so good.
It's very yellow, and it's like a dessert, like a preserve.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of, you can make a lemon tart with it,
mm-hmm.
or lemon cake. It has that sweet and tart taste to it. I wanted to write a book that was international, that would appeal to everybody, and bring some of that European culture into the American culture. So, and the fact that it's both sweet and tart, which is how the relationship of Annalisa and Neil start. It's really tart, and then it starts to get better. I thought it would make a perfect title for the book.
It's fantastic. It definitely makes you wonder what's inside the covers of this book.
Right. I'm so glad. I'm glad that it would entice people to want to see what it's all about.
Mm-hmm. Well, what a great first book. When is your second coming out?
My second book, it should be out around June 22nd.
Okay.
And it's going to be on Amazon and on lots of other online bookstores.
And so where are you going in the future? You've got two books out this year. What's ahead for you?
I'm going to continue writing, working on a third book. There are three, actually, topics. I'm not sure which direction I want to go to. One of them is about what's happening with our economy and what's causing it. The other one would be the war between Palestinians and Israelis.
Mm.
And then Darfur and the genocides in Darfur. So I'm like kind of pulled in different directions, and I haven't really decided which one I want to pick out for my third book yet.
So will you be writing with those sorts of modern topics in the context of a novel, or are you going to get into nonfiction?
Oh, no. I will always write as a novel. It's just because I think I want to write something that's entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
And I usually try to take a dry subject and make it interesting so that people would pay attention. You know, for example, a lot of people don't go see documentaries as opposed to movies.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I can capture a larger population by combining the two. You have a bit of fiction and a lot of reality mixed in there in an interesting way where you can sit after work and relax with a cup of tea and get lost in someone else's problems and at the same time be entertained. So
mm-hmm.
I will always write novels. As of right now, I believe that I would continue writing novels.
It's a great way to get a strong message across when you combine it with an entertainment factor.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
It makes it more interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, it sounds like you are going to be incredibly busy over the next coming years.
Oh, yes. Very, very busy.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So we've got two websites for our listeners to check out. There's lemoncurdbook.com, which is specific to Lemon Curd, and then you have your personal website, homaporsgari.com, and that's where you have a lot written about your political ideas and that sort of thing.
Yes, that is correct.
Okay, and so on both websites, your books can be purchased?
For Lemon Curd, you would go to the lemoncurd.com.
Okay.
And it lists the bookstores where it can be purchased.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much most major online bookstores, readers should be able to find my book.
Yes, yes. And maybe order even through your local bookstore and support your local
Definitely.
Small business. Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Local bookstores is great. Even if they just go to a local bookstore, they can special order it as well.
Yes.
So which would be easy.
Keep it local.
That's right. Local. I agree with you.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Homa, it's been great talking with you. I'm looking at the time, and it's gone by so quickly. I really hope to have you back later this year when The Dawn of Saadi comes out.
Oh, definitely. I would love to come back, and we can talk a little bit more about what's going on with that.
Excellent, excellent. Well, I look forward to it. Did you have any final thoughts for our audience today before we let you go?
Yes, I would like my audience to be a little bit more involved with what's going on in our society. I think that we should all get more involved. But other than that, this has been a great interview. I hope to be able to talk to my readers again at some point down the line. And thank you so much for this great interview.
Well, great, Homa. Thank you. You've been a wonderful guest, and I look forward to just following your works for many years, and we'll definitely be talking again.
Okay.
Thank you. Take care.
You too.
All right, listeners, that's been Homa Porisgari, and her first and new book, Lemon Curd, is out on shelves now. And as mentioned, her websites, lemoncurdbook.com and homaporisgari.com, are both up. Lots of information up there, so do check them out. And keep an eye on her. She has a major voice and really has something to say. So we will definitely stay tuned with her writing career. Well, I want to thank you once again for tuning in to the show, to Inside Scoop Live. I'm Juanita Watson, and until next time.